You know, so much talk about Mayweather and McGregor. There is an enormous fight this weekend, arguably the fight of the year in the UFC. It's UFC 214. I'm joined right now in studio by the UFC light heavyweight champ. He is a two-time Olympian. He is a Strikeforce heavyweight Grand Prix winner. He is a Fox Sports host. He is 19-1-0. UFC 214. Cormier versus Jones 2. It's live from Anaheim. It's Saturday. It's 10 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. Once again, might be the fight of the year in the UFC. Daniel Cormier joining me right here in studio. DC, you have been on the show before, but you and I have never come together in person. It is great to see you. Thank you for coming on. How are things?
I'm excited, Jim, man. When I saw this pop up on my schedule, I got pumped. I didn't know that you were in Irvine. I had no idea, you know, so... I was excited. I'm very excited.
Neither did they, my man, until you just said that.
Sorry. I just blew the lid off.
They know. It's all good. No, that's great. It's awesome. It's great to see you here. And, hey, listen, the week of a fight, guys usually are getting their work in. They're focused. This is a big ask and a big thing for you to come in studio, so I really appreciate you, and thanks for doing that. Telephone number is toll-free and open. I may take a telephone call if you want. Call Daniel Cormier. In the meantime, so here we are a few days out, right? You've been here before. You've been waiting on this one. What's different is you've been waiting on this one for 2.5 years. So how is the week going, and what are your emotions like right now?
Oh, they're great, man. I think that now I've become more in tune with the big fight. The first time we fought, I was mad. I was angry. I was the challenger. I needed to be the UFC champion. I was the guy that stood for good, as John was the guy that stood for bad. I needed to rid the world of John Jones. It was one of the things I said leading up to the fight. Now I'm like, John Jones, you are free to live in this world however you want. You want to live it good, you want to live it bad, I don't care. I'm the champion. I'm comfortable. This is another title defense. The one thing in this sport, Jim, that I have not done is beat John Jones. Everything else, as you listed, I have done. This is a great opportunity in California to... Essentially, put a topper on my career. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to quit. I'm just saying that if you want to end something or if you want to get to the end of a video game, you beat the ultimate boss. The ultimate boss beat me the first time. Now I get to go back and beat him as the champion.
Daniel Cormier joining me. He is the champion. UFC 214 is coming up this weekend. It's Anaheim. It's pay-per-view. So like you said, it's changed. It's different this time around. Back then, you were the guy who represented good. He was bad. And you had this energy, even this animosity built up towards him. But it's changed. What changed, and how'd you get to that point?
You know, I still don't like John. Like, I'm not going to sit here and go, well, you know, we're friends now. Nope, we're not friends. We're never going to be friends. That's fine. But I'm okay with that. Like, before, I felt like, why was I the guy that was there to make sure that the world was working perfect? I don't care. I don't care that people boo me. I mean, it doesn't matter. All that matters is I get to compete at the highest levels of this sport. When I was able to let go of all the excess trying to carry the world on my shoulders, it freed me, Jim. It allowed me to train harder, train smarter. Everything just kind of fell into place. I enjoy my circumstances, my surroundings, and the people that care for me, and it's made this preparation easy.
All right, so you sound like you're just lighter. You're not carrying some of the things you were carrying around, but You and I have talked about this in the past. When Dana told you, Dana White, that Jones had tested positive before last year's fight, at that time, you were very emotional, knowing, man, I got to wait another year to face this guy. So how much are you looking forward to finally getting that chance Saturday?
I'm so ready, Jim. You know, when Dana told me that, I was still feeling that way because it was like the first year into my title reign. I had people just dogging on me. You didn't beat John Jones. Didn't matter how many fights I won. You didn't beat John Jones. You're not this. And I needed him. And then as time's going on, I've fought 4 times since we fought and defended the belt twice and won another fight in between. Won the belt, defended the belt twice, and won another fight in between. I have no control over what he's done. I have no control of him not being there. So last year, he still had the ability to carry those emotions over me. So when Dana said that, my heart was broken. I was like, dang, man, again. But now, it's like we're here. And he seems to be doing the right things to get to the octagon on Saturday. It's all that matters to me. I've been waiting. I'm super excited to finally get in there with this guy again and really just fight and compete against him.
Daniel Cormier joining me in studio. I don't know, man. I'm looking at that belt. You've got the belt right in front of me. The belt's gigantic. The belt is real. It exists. So are you still hearing these things like, yeah, but you're not the champ because you didn't beat that guy? And if you're still hearing it, what's your reaction to it?
I do hear it, Jim. It's never going to stop. You know, like, people are going to always say that. But the number of people that say it has gone down a lot. Before, if there were 1,000 people talking, 700 people were saying, oh, you're not the champion. Now, if there are 1,000 people talking, there may be 100 in there going, you're not the champion. Most people now have accepted that, well, you know what? This guy has been here. He's been carrying his title in the way that it should be carried. He's been fighting his butt off. He's been doing everything to defend the belt. I mean, hey, time doesn't stop for nobody. And if I was the one doing stuff and getting, like, say I was setting him up, people would be like, okay. But now it's like people realize a little bit more that everything that was done was by his doing, not mine.
Daniel Cormier joining me in studio. Once again, UFC 214, Cormier v. Jones, Anaheim, Saturday night, 10 p.m. pay-per-view. You know, it's been 2.5 years since you last faced Jones. Now, I'm listening to you, DC, and you're talking about how you've changed mentally and emotionally and how it's much lighter now than it used to be. But what about as a fighter? How different are you now as a fighter than you were then the first time you fought him?
I think I'm better. You know, I have improved a ton in my stand-up. I am much more confident in every situation of the fight. When I lost to John in January 2015, I had really cruised almost throughout my whole entire career. So not only did I struggle in that fight, my coaches kind of struggled in that fight. And I've told them that, Jim. They panicked. Everybody was yelling over each other. Everybody didn't know what was happening because they had never seen me deal with adversity. And in the Rumble fight, I got knocked down. After the talk we had, I was like, guys, we have to be better. Things aren't always going to be perfect. The Rumble fight, I got knocked down. They were completely honest. Close round, it's okay, though. Let's get back to work. Calm, collected. Gustafson fight, I'm bloody and just beaten, bruised. Calm, collected. You got it, Daniel. Go do it. We have all grown in the spectrum of competition. And we're ready for this challenge now, finally.
All right, so you're better for it. You know, I wonder, you've got to go through those wars sometimes. You don't know how you're going to react until you're in that situation. But then Jones is different in the sense, Daniel, that he's had numerous issues outside the cage since the two of you last met. Any idea what kind of a fighter you're going to see on Saturday? Is he the same fighter? Or do you think maybe some of that stuff outside the cage has drained him and taken away from him?
I think that I have prepared for the best version of him, like as good as he's ever been. The guy that beat Shogun Hua way back in the day and made Shogun tap the strikes. My thought is the guy that we saw against Ovince St. Preux, the guy that was tentative, a little more hesitant.
Rusty.
But that's not Russ. I looked at the fight and I said yesterday, I go, Jim, that's as good as he can give. You know, this is a new world. Before, we were all fighting without the United States Anti-Doping Association. We were fighting under some different rules. Now, we're fighting clean. We have to fight clean, all of us. And I believe in the old Ovince St. Preux. I told him yesterday, I go, you should be proud of your performance because you got the most out of yourself that you could ever get. That is the best that he could ever fight was how he fought Ovince St. Preux. So don't rag on his performance. He did fine. He fought to the best of his ability.
So you're saying that he's never what we thought that he was, because most would say, hey, this guy, for whatever trouble he's had outside the cage, he's the best of the best there ever was. Was he never what we thought that he was? Was he just a product of what he had inside of his body, what he was doing illegally?
I've always said, and I'm not the only one. Yesterday we were on a conference call and he went off and he started going, geez, Daniel, you shouldn't try to prop yourself up by saying that I did steroids. Well, if I believe you did steroids, I'm going to say you did steroids. Man, those two things that he got popped for last year, those masking agents, those are known, the two most well-known masking agents for when you're coming off of doing steroids. Now, how would I know this? Because there's a guy up in San Francisco that was very closely tied to Barry Bonds back in the day that is very knowledgeable in this aspect, and he knows people in the area.
Victor Conte.
Yes, he knows people in the area. So he's telling us all this stuff. Reality is, I can say what I want. He was upset, though. He was telling me, I didn't do the steroids. Finally, I go, okay, John, you didn't do steroids. Fine, whatever. But what we saw in the Ovince fight is who he is. That's the best that he can give based on his natural ability.
So do you think he pulled his game out of a bottle?
I think he has skill. I think he's a very talented guy. I think that he works hard. I believe that he's a very talented kid. But you cannot convince me a guy that will do the stuff that he was doing. Even, the drugs that he got tested for the first time, the cocaine before we fought the first time, a month before the biggest fight that he's ever had. We sold more pay-per-views than he's ever done in his life. 3 weeks when he got in that wreck against Rumble, there was marijuana. He said he was hungover. That's 3 weeks before another title fight. It's almost like he was trying to self-sabotage himself. So why would he not do things on the other end to help himself? That's my thoughts. So yeah, if I feel something, I'm going to say it. I'm not holding my tongue.
Clearly, Daniel Cormier joining me. Now, I wonder, one last thought on that. If you're a guy that does things, and you're a guy who does performance enhancers, and obviously there's an edge that comes along with that, right? You have that. You know how it makes you feel. You know you have that edge. If suddenly you don't have that edge, what does that do to an athlete in his mind?
Bingo. Bingo. The confidence. The confidence is like, man, can I really do this? In the third round, am I going to feel like I did against Andre Guzman or Forrest Griffin? Or am I going to feel like I did when I was Superman against Shogun? Or in the fourth round against me when I'm tiring and he's like getting his second win? I don't know. That's the question. There are a lot of fighters that will openly admit to doing things in the past, and they say when they had to do it the right way, they never felt the same in their minds. More than physical. Physically, I'm sure he could do anything. He's a good athlete. Physically, I'm sure he could do anything. But let's see what happens to that mind when I'm pushing him.
You know, the other thing, Daniel, before I go to break, I wonder about this. If you're a guy who does things like that, you know how this is, right? There's always going to be guys who cheat, always guys who look for the edge because, one, we're talking about hyper-competitive guys, mm-hmm. alphas. Two, there's way too much money at stake. If the risk is that great or the reward is that great, you're going to take the risk. But aren't the bad guys always a step ahead of the guys trying to run them down? And if they did something before, are you not at all concerned that he might still be doing something?
You know, man, I feel like we make a lot of money. But I feel like the money you need to run from USADA has to be bigger. Remember the whole Lance Armstrong thing?
Sure.
It took them years, but eventually they caught Lance Armstrong, and they were doing some stuff that was at a different level, and I'm not sure MMA guys have the resources to cheat at that level. So yeah, I believe he's going to be clean.
Daniel Cormier joining me in studio. Here's what we'll do. We'll take one more break. How you doing there on time, champ? You got one more segment in you?
I got it in me, Jim.
That's what
sure.
I like to hear. UFC 214 is coming up this weekend. Again, you don't want to get lost in this. All this talk about Mayweather and McGregor, but you've got this fight coming up this weekend. Arguably the fight of the year in the UFC, UFC 214. Daniel Cormier is the UFC light heavyweight champ, a two-time Olympian. It's live from Anaheim. It's Saturday. It's 10 p.m. pay-per-view. More with the champ when we come back. If you want to take a shot and get on the phones, go ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. Time now for a sports update. Here is the very latest. Rich Ackerman has it this time. CBS Sports Radio. Rare is the guy that carries two full segments, but after that last segment, you know we'd run it back. Daniel Cormier is the UFC light heavyweight champ. He is joining me in studio. He is a Fox Sports host. He's only lost once. He's 19-1-0. He's got a badass belt right in front of us, the champion's belt. UFC 214 is coming up Saturday. It's in Anaheim. It's on pay-per-view. Daniel Cormier and John Jones. I'm going to get a phone call or two in here in just 1 minute. Daniel, one more thing. Jones was saying that Anderson Silva told him, quote, this is Anderson Silva to him, I'm an old man now. And Daniel had to take me down round after round because I felt fear coming off of him. This man has fear in his heart, end quote. You've probably seen that. What is your reaction to him saying that you've got fear in your heart and you're an old man?
That's crazy, man. I answered it. Yesterday I said, you know, it's like me calling one of the guys that John beat and going, hey, how do you beat John Jones? You lost. You can't tell him that I was afraid when I was beating you the whole time. I beat Anderson Silva 30-26 across the board. That was a 10-8 round in the first round. But if a guy is going to, Jim, like I would grab his leg or something, he would just fall down. He didn't even attempt to defend the takedowns. So Of course I'm going to take him down. If a fight's going to be easy, then I'm going to take the easy fight. It's like saying it's the easiest thing in the world, man. If a guy's just going to lay down, I mean, I don't worry about it. I'm glad they're friends. I don't care how many people call him and tell him how to beat me. He's the one that has to go in the octagon on Saturday and do it again.
All right, so at this point, who needs whom more? Do you need him more than he needs you, or is it the other way around?
Jimmy, you know, I feel like he needs me because John said something that was very telling in an interview. He goes, in a promo, he goes, I need to win this fight to get my life back. Jim, this belt, I love it, but I can throw it on the floor and leave. I go to my children, I go to my wife, and I go to my family. That's my life. This is my job. This is a sport. This is not my life. But because John won this belt at such a young age, it became to define him. So he needs me because he can't have his life without this thing, a piece of metal. I love the UFC title, but this is not my life. He needs me. I don't need him anymore.
So if you need to win a fight to get your life back, what kind of pressure is that putting on a guy, and do you carry that into the cage, and then what does that mean?
It's a ton of pressure. I'm telling you, I needed to, the first time, I needed to win the fight to become the UFC champion. I don't need to become the UFC champion anymore. I've been that for 2.5 years.
They can't take that from you.
No. I'm going to just defend this belt and beat the only guy that beat me, but I don't need it. Jim, I'm not going to lose this fight on Saturday, but regardless of the outcome, I will be fine. I don't know if I can say the same about him when he loses Saturday night.
You know, we went through this once before, and I know that your reaction then might not be the reaction that it would be this time, but is there any small piece of you that thinks, man, he's not going to make it to this weekend? We didn't make it to the last fight, and it's only Tuesday.
You know, man, I didn't anticipate what happened last year on Wednesday night. I mean, we were at the press conference that morning, and, you know, we were yelling and screaming at each other. So I'm confident. I feel like because he needs this, he has done everything clean. That's why in the last segment we talked about if I believe he'd be complete and clean. I think he would do it this time because there's no way that he would risk not going to another fight. I don't think this kid can actually go through another roller coaster like he's gone through in the last couple of years.
Daniel Cormier in studio. Before I let you go, we got a phone call or two. Let's go to the phones and see what's up. We go to Todd in Washington, D.C., Todd, you're on with Daniel Cormier. He's the light heavyweight champ. Todd, how are you?
Good. Thanks for the vine. What's up, champ?
How you doing, Todd?
Doing well. Listen, I met you back 2013 at Legacy's Sports Bar out in Vegas. I was out for UFC 200. Huge letdown that I didn't see the sequel. But I just saw you back at 210 in Buffalo. You signed my my UFC 200 shirt, and I said, this was the fight that never happened. And he gave me a look, and you said, it's going to happen. So good luck Saturday night, champ. I'm going to be watching, and I know you're going to take care of business. You know what, John Jones, move up to heavyweight. Fight Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden. Rack me.
All right, Todd, thank you very much.
Thanks,
got some
Todd.
Unfinished business. All right, so that's somebody who remembers his couple of encounters with you. Let's get another phone call in here. Derek in Maine. Derek, you're on with Daniel Cormier.
Rome,
how are you?
DC, what's happening, guys?
What's
How
up?
You guys doing?
Oh, dude, man, you're doing great. Hey, good to hear from you today. It sounds awesome. Can't wait for this weekend. I hear all you've been saying about Jones. You know, he's got to have some skill. You know, I know he's a fighter and all, but the PEDs, making you wait, I feel like this is more personable than you've been letting on. I feel like you're coming from this from a real professional standpoint. But if this was, an old-school fight, if it ended, would you feel better knocking him out or tapping him out?
I'm sure that's not the first time that's come up.
No, you know, I've been asked that a ton of times. You know, reality is I would like to give him a beating like Randy Couture did to Tito Ortiz back in the day where he just dominated him, had him hanging his head and just showing that he had nothing for him. I'd love to knock him out, but I would prefer to just beat him for 5 rounds and really just kind of break his spirit.
DC, is there any part of you that, given your feelings about him, I mean, maybe it's not as intense as it was, but you made it pretty clear. And we don't like each other now. Mm-mm. We're never going to be boys. We're not friends. I've watched you guys, and I can see it. It's real. Any sense that when you get into the cage, you got to find a way to kind of channel that and maintain that, not get too hot, not get too emotional, not get so hyped and so amped that it takes you out of your game?
That's what we've been working on. That's why I can take the approach that I'm taking with him now, is that we worked on, even though we don't like this guy, when we go to fight on Saturday, we can compete. Because the reality of this is the truth. If I see him after the fight and I decide to smack him or something, I still can. I can still smack him. Now, Chris Cyborg did it to Angela Magana. She pissed her off, so she smacked her. I can still smack her.
Honestly, could you ever see that happening? Could you ever see seeing this guy after the fight, away out of the cage, on the street, wherever, back in the tunnel? Could you see that happening?
Yeah, I can.
Is your dislike for him that great?
I don't like the guy, and it's not going to change. He's very disrespectful. He's condescending. And he's an elitist. He's just not the kind of person that I like. I really don't like the guy. So after we fought the first time, I was working for Fox Sports, and he went to the arena, and everybody, like the UFC and my people from Fox, they all were like, "Hey, DC, you got to see this." The UFC security, and I'm like, "What is it?" You know, because I'm there to work. I didn't know the guy was going to be there, and they rushed me into this room, so I didn't see him going into the next room because they figure we still would get after each other. Mm. That's how deep it goes for both of us.
All right, then. Before you go, you and I talked about this during the break. I got to get your thoughts. As a fellow combatant, a fellow fighter, what do you make of Mayweather-McGregor's press tour and the promotion in general?
I like what Leonard Ellerbe said, and he called Conor a cold pimp. When Conor had those pants on and that Conor had that white polar bear jacket on, he had a polar bear fur on. Right, he's out of his mind.
We stop right there. A polar bear fur without a shirt.
Without a shirt in New York City in the summertime.
Summertime.
It doesn't even matter. He called him a cold pimp, and I love that because Conor McGregor is a madman. He has done things that no person would ever have imagined. I call him the greatest promoter of all time because he got the best boxer of all time to fight him with zero experience. Conor McGregor's the man, but the reality of the fight is it's a mismatch. Floyd Mayweather's the greatest boxer of all time. It's a single skill. Now, I have to say this, Jim, before I go. If they fight in a mixed martial arts competition,
sure,
Floyd Mayweather does not last a round. Conor will last more than a round, but it's a tough fight, man.
I don't think Floyd lasts a minute if it's MMA, but can you make any argument? I mean, like, Daniel, for instance, how do you think that goes? I mean, do you think that Floyd kind of carries him and toys with him and wins the fight and it's boring? Or could he really beat him up badly?
You know, you just wonder if it's going to be like Floyd that's been fighting lately or Pretty Boy Floyd. Because remember, Pretty Boy Floyd was okay with getting in the scrap. What he did to Arturo Gatti was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear is that doesn't happen. Like, he just goes out and just pounds on him. And then the inexperience shows, and you realize that, man, this should not have been scheduled. You know, that's my biggest fear because I like Conor McGregor. He's a great guy, man. Like, every time you meet Conor and you're around Conor, he's like, his personality is infectious. He's like, he's a great guy. And, I know that if I tried to box one of the best boxers in the world, I would get demolished. I'm not the boxer Conor is, but I would get demolished. And it's like, I can't go play basketball with the best in the world. I can't go play football. I just worry for him in that aspect.
So, I mean, what do you think Conor's thinking? Does Conor really think he's got any kind of shot?
100% he does. That's the beauty of Conor McGregor. Whereas everybody's saying, no, you can't. No, you can't. In his mind, he really does believe he's going to knock out Floyd Mayweather. And there's a lot to that. You give him a lot of credit for it.
I guess if I were Conor McGregor and I was where he was 5 years ago and where he is right now, I probably would think that there's nothing that I couldn't do, but he's never tried this before. Dude, we're talking about a different sport.
They asked him, you can't beat Jose Aldo. You cannot do this. This guy's never lost. 13 seconds, Conor McGregor's the new featherweight champion. Batters Eddie Alvarez for two. Every time what's he got in his left hand? What's this dude?
You know why? Because he got in both their heads. Those were both pros, and he got in their heads. He can't get in Floyd's head,
Floyd seemed like stone, right? No matter what he said or did, Floyd just sat there. He did not bite on anything, and that's the difference. But, I mean, every time he hit out, it's the death punch. His left hand is the death punch. Every time he hit out Eddie Alvarez, he fell.
So, really quick, do you think that he can land that punch, and with those size gloves, would have the same effect on Floyd? I mean, what happens if he hits him with that left hand?
He'll hit him, but I just don't. I mean, people have hit him before. You know, people have hit him before. I saw Floyd get hit really hard by Maidana and had to wobble back to the corner. But he came back and just Shane Mosley hurt him really bad.
Yeah, he did. He did, for sure.
And then he got shut out for the rest of the fight. You know, so it's like he makes adjustments. He woke up and was like, okay, maybe I should do something different.
We don't have time, but that point about adjustments, man, Floyd is so much smarter than he gets credit for. I mean, the guy's a genius. He's a boxing genius.
He's a boxing. He's a savant, man.
He's been a savant. Connor can say he can't read, but I'm telling you, my man is a genius in the ring.
He's been in boxing gloves since he was a baby.
Right. Daniel Cormier, UFC 214. It is the fight, man. Let's not get this twisted. This is the fight that's happening this weekend, the fight of the year. It's live from Anaheim. It's on pay-per-view, 10 p.m. DC, I'm so glad that you and I, first of all, I appreciate you and all the interviews you've always done for me and on this show, but I'm so glad that we could come together in person and do this. The entire team is here, and it's a big week for you, so thanks for making time for it. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I really do appreciate it.
That was a great time. Daniel Cormier, the UFC light heavyweight champ of the world, in studio, not just in studio, but here for two segments.